Please turn with me to John 19. John 19, and we read together from verse 28 up to 30. Though we are looking at verse 30 and the words that the Lord uttered before he gave up his spirit. John 19, verse 28 to 30, and the Bible reads as follows. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Verse 30 again. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. During the month of November, we have been looking at words from the cross. Dr. Vodi started by looking at, "Why have you forsaken me?" And last week, we looked at the words, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This morning, we consider the very last words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on the cross before he died. And these are the words recorded in verse 30 of chapter 19. "It is finished." Society today will tell you that the words that a man or woman will utter before they die are very important. Because these are words that are important in the sense that they come with something that they would like to leave you with. These are the concluding words of their life. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he was dying and he was to rise again, but it is also important for us to consider these words. "It is finished." These words are recorded in John. You go to these other Gospels, you will not find them. "It is finished." The Lord Jesus Christ, by saying these words, meant quite a number of things. And this morning, my desire is to explore what the Lord meant by saying, "It is finished." And when the Lord says these final words, "It is finished," which obviously in the Greek will be translated into one word, tetelestai. These words are telling us something about his work. Tetelestai is telling us something about what he came to do here on earth. And therefore, when we hear the Lord speak and he says, he cries out, "It is finished," he is actually saying that, "I have done my work. I have completed my work. I have accomplished what I came to do here on earth. I have accomplished what was foretold a long time ago. I have come to accomplish even this which was planned from time immemorial or eternity past." So these simple words, "It is finished," they are words that each and every human being is supposed to sit, reflect upon, and see how they apply to their life. When he is saying, "It is finished," the perfect tense which is used here is saying something to us. And as the Lord is crying, He's actually saying, it stands finished and always will be finished. In other words, He's saying, it is done. And this morning we have to explore what has been done. Beloved friend, these are moments when you sit down and think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you have heard before, the one you have probably sung to in terms of singing some of those songs, the one you have actually been thinking and talking about, yet you do not know Him in your life. This morning, we do proclaim Him to you, and He is saying, it is finished. I'd like us to look at three things this morning, and all in form of question. What did the Savior mean when He said it is finished? Secondly, what did it mean to those standing by? And thirdly, what does it mean to you and me? Definitely when the Savior was saying these words, He meant something. And throughout the Gospels, we see that the Lord spoke so many times and people did not understand what He was saying. Sometimes even including His disciples. The Lord spoke and they only realized what He was saying after a while. So what did He mean when He said it is finished? I'll first of all say what He didn't mean. This did not mean that He was finished Himself. Remember, He said, it is finished, not I am finished. This is one of the phrases or sentences that people use when they are done, when they've been found out, when they have got nowhere to run to, and they are saying, I am finished. They are powerless, they have no solution to the situation, and therefore they say, I am finished. But He doesn't mean that. By saying it is finished, it doesn't mean that He has succumbed to everything that was laid before Him in defeat. Beloved friend, He didn't mean He was done by crying out. It wasn't a cry of exhaustion, but completion. The Lord Jesus Christ did not say, I am defeated. And these people who are persecuting me, who are actually beating me up, have actually won. Or they've achieved what they want and that's it. Probably they achieved what they wanted. But for Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a mission to accomplish. I therefore say that what the Lord meant when He said, it is finished, is that He had paid in full. It is finished means He had paid in full according to the word used here. Paid in full in the sense that there is no more payment after that. Paid in full signifies satisfaction of that payment. And so when He says it is finished, He's saying the work has been paid for. But you might be asking this question, what is He paying for? And why is He paying? I must remind you of something that we see in John and chapter 1. If you read John and chapter 1, it gives you the idea of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do on earth and who He is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You must go back to the genesis of this. There is a reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. So many times we do celebrate Christmas, and this signifies the coming of the Lord into this world, and next month we'll be celebrating the same. But we must be reminded of the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and this is clearly spelled out in the Bible. We see that Christ came to this earth, took up the human form, to come and suffer on the cross, to come and deal with human sin. Christ did not come for a vacation. I know there are so many times when we leave our comfort zone and then we go to places of discomfort for a little while, probably simply because we have been posted to go there, or our dissertation demands so, or our thesis demands so. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, He was on a mission. And so when He says it is finished, He is saying that He has paid it all, and He has dealt with human sin. In other words, He is also declaring that the debt owed to God by man has been paid in full. And what is this debt we are talking about? Genesis chapter 3 will tell you that man sinned in the garden, and there we see that by the representation of our two parents, Adam and Eve, sin has actually been transmitted to all and all the human beings, and that is to the human race. Irrespective of gender, irrespective of age, irrespective of color, all have been affected by sin, and as it were, all the faculties of man have been affected by this sin. So, we have transgressed the law, we have sinned against the Almighty, and therefore, we were supposed to be punished. But Christ came to pay for that debt. So when He says, tetelestai, it means the sins have been wiped out because He has paid the debt owed to God. Furthermore, when He says it is finished, He means the following things that I'm going to mention, and the five of them. One, He means that the great work of redemption was finished. The great work of redemption was finished. No wonder we call Jesus Christ the Redeemer. The Redeemer, the one who redeems His people. And as He's doing that act, is actually fulfilling redemption or carrying out redemption. What is redemption? In simple terms, redemption simply means to save, to rescue, to retrieve, and recover. But it also means to buy back. And this is what we are saying. When He is saying it is finished, He has actually said that He has saved His people. Those who are to be born and to come centuries to follow, they have been redeemed, as it were. He has saved them. When He says it is finished, He means that He has retrieved that which was lost. It means that He has recovered that which was lost. It means that He has actually paid in full to bring back His own back to the fold. So it is finished means the work of redemption is finished. But if you want to go a little bit further in describing or defining redemption in theology, it denotes recovery from sin. And that is more precise. Recovery from sin and death. And it is not just recovery without doing anything or by word of mouth. It is recovering through the obedience and sacrifice of Christ. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 20 tells us something about Christ, Him being the Redeemer. We see also in Job 19 verse 29, He actually calls upon His Redeemer, or He mentioned that His Redeemer lives. And these are important verses. Let me just read to you Isaiah 59 and verse 20 and see what Isaiah is saying about the Redeemer. The Redeemer will come to Zion And to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. This is a prophecy about the Redeemer who is to come and carry out redemption by Isaiah. And he has actually come to do that. Apart from what we are seeing in terms of the definition of redemption, and that's what he means when he says it is finished, we must emphasize that this redemption is about paying the proper price. He paid the proper price on the cross. It was appropriate as it were. And that's what exactly was required for your redemption and for my redemption. In other words, when we say he has actually carried out the work of redemption, we are saying that he has made an end of all sin. He has brought about reconciliation for iniquity. He has brought everlasting righteousness. This is what the Lord has done, and this is what he's saying he has done. Secondly, apart from the work of redemption, he is saying that all the Old Testament prophecies concerning his death were finished. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we are told about the seed who would crush the serpent's head. We are told about the suffering Messiah in Isaiah chapter 53. The Old Testament prophesied. These men said that there was going to come a Messiah who was going to suffer, who was going to carry out this work. And indeed, he came. And so when he says it is finished, he is actually saying those things which were prophesied about, they have actually come to an end. We also see that when he says it is finished, he means all obedience to the law of God was finished in Christ crucified. Christ's perfect obedience to God's law was finished. Now it was not necessary that man must perfectly obey every law of God to be saved. In other words, what we are saying is that he has done it all. You cannot be saved by observing the law. You cannot be saved by strictly following the Ten Commandments. Not to say that they are to be disregarded, but that's not the means for salvation, as some may be proclaiming today. As you may ask some of these people, including young people, are you a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. Why do you say so? I obey the commandments. No, the biggest commandment to obey, as we are going to see, is to accept Christ as your personal savior. No one can be saved by perfectly keeping God's commandments. If anything, none of us can keep all the commandments. If anything, we break all the commandments every day. If anything, we break the Sabbath almost every day. If anything, we do other things that are inappropriate every day. When he says it is finished, he also says all types of ceremonial law were finished. He offered the perfect sacrifice for once and for all. Remember in the Old Testament, there were people who were sacrificing or offering sacrifice from time to time. They used to kill so many animals. Remember even Job himself, he went to pray for his children just in case they had sinned. He was there offering sacrifice for them. And when Christ says it is finished, there is no more sacrifice. There is no more killing of animals. There is no more practicing those rituals which were there before. You can be saved only by turning to him. That's what he's saying. Apart from all these things we have mentioned, although the redemption of mankind is the most important finished task, many other things were finished on the cross. But allow me to also mention one other thing which was finished on the cross. The sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ were finished on the cross. The sufferings Jesus endured while on earth, especially in his last hours, were so intense. They were so immense. But as he says, it is finished. It means that the suffering has come to an end. This Christ has fulfilled everything that was put before him, unwillingly so. This Christ was not going to be humiliated in body again. He was not going to suffer the pain, to suffer humiliation. It is finished. And I must also emphasize that the suffering that we are talking about, we must spell it out. We must look into it. And we must be very clear. The suffering, as we all know, is not as a result of his sins. The suffering is not as a result of wrongdoing. The suffering is because you and I were heading to hell and he took up our place. The Lord suffered in body. In verse 3, we see that these soldiers and the people around here were doing all sorts of things to inflict pain upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that these men were ruthless. We see that he suffered at the hands of these men. Chapter 19, verse 3. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. They were beating him. Verse 5 of the same book and chapter, what do we see? Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Crown of thorns, they put it on his head. He suffered on the cross and before that. Verse 17 of the same book, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. But we see that even as he has been beaten, he's tired and so forth, they've given him the cross to carry. So the suffering which came to an end is that of the body. But there is also the suffering of the spiritual or emotional suffering, emotional pain. And beloved friends, emotional pain is greater than physical pain. With physical pain, probably you take some tablets and it goes away. You probably sit for a day or so and the body comes back to normal. But emotional pain, the pain of the heart, that stays for a long time. That is more painful. These things he suffered. But when he said it is finished, this came to an end. Beloved friends, this is what the Lord meant when he said, "It is finished." The work of redemption was done. His mission on earth was done. But it also means that his suffering came to an end. But in the second place, we must ask this question. Okay, fine. This is what the Lord meant. But what did it mean to those standing by? Did they really understand what Christ was saying? Did they really appreciate the words, "It is finished"? We must ask this important question because later on we'll apply it to our lives. What did they understand by these words? First of all, we must acknowledge that there were people of different backgrounds, people with different views about what was happening. Just like in every given gathering, there are people with diverse views. There are people who understand what is happening. There are people who will be opposed or opposed of what is happening. There are people who will be for the idea of what is happening. And so we see that this cross, you know, understanding of things was not one. There were people with different views. Of course, we must look at the description of these people. There were those who were lost. These people were lost, and we find them in this particular chapter. And the verses that we read. Verse 6, therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Verse 7, what do we see? The Jews answered, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself Son of God. In this particular crowd, before we go to what it means to them, we must describe them. They are those who are lost. Those who cannot see a savior in this man who has been crucified. Those who are so determined to have this man eliminated. Those who are so determined to make sure that this man endures the pain and he feels it. They can't see a savior. They have no spiritual eyes to see a redeemer. They can't see that this suffering is actually something that they should have actually gone through. They can't see it. They never recognized a savior. These were also a people who were misinformed. A people who were driven by mob psychology. And sometimes this is very clear and very common of young people. Mob psychology. The majority of the people are doing this. The majority of the people do not want to go to church. The majority of the people don't want to give their lives to God. The majority of the people are cool and they do things which are in rebellion and in opposition to God. These men and women were lost. We see a people who are actually trying to inflict pain on someone who has come to rescue them. Beloved friend, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you mock him on your bed? Do you mock him as you go to school? Do you mock him as you work? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just like any other man who came? And so you even laugh about his beating? These were lost men. They rejected the Son of Man. They rejected him. Friends and brethren, when you are rejected by one person, it is very painful. But when people gather to reject you, it is more painful. You have no one to sympathize with you. Maybe some, but they are not coming forth. So these people were lost. They rejected their savior. Verse 21, therefore the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. They rejected him. So this is one description of the people we are standing by, those who rejected him. But we also have probably those who were not sure. They were just following, they were not deeply convicted in their hearts that this man has done wrong. They were simply following because the crowd was doing so. There are those who were not too sure whether this man was guilty or not. In other words, we see a people who are sitting on the fence. A people who warm up to religion, but never giving their life to Christ. These people probably sympathized with him. Maybe some of them never even threw a stone at him. They felt sorry for him, but they were still lost. They felt sorry for him, but they never recognized he was their savior. They felt pity for him. But they didn't really know who he was. They had an idea. Do you remember some years back when that movie came out, The Passion of Christ? How they described the beating of our Lord Jesus Christ? How he was beaten, how he was mistreated, the body cut and everything. Do you remember? Probably you watched it and you're one of the people who cried after that, seeing that movie. And so this is what people do. They will see the movie. They will cry. They will feel pity for Christ. And after the movie is finished, they wipe their tears and they go away. Beloved friends, feeling pity for Christ does not constitute repentance. Feeling pity for Christ does not bring about a new life. It is about seeing that it is me who was supposed to have been standing on that cross, like we are singing in that hymn. Oh, to see the pen, oh, to see the name written on his hands. There are those also standing by who knew who Christ was. Before they left, before he said it is finished, we see in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. This disciple took the mother to Jesus, to his own home. There are those who also remained and they were relatives of Jesus. Those who knew who Christ was. Those who were actually convinced that this man was innocent. And probably those who testified at one point or another that they were healed by him. Those who experienced the healing power of Christ. Those knew who he was. Today, you might be standing by. Or sitting by. In which category do you fall? You are sitting by or standing by? What is your description? But we must hurry on and look at their understanding as we seek to answer this question. What did this mean to them? What we see is that Christ used these words deliberately. And he used these words, or this word, tetelestai, so that they can understand something. And it is a term which was used in the society, or in that society, meaning a number of things. It was an accounting term that meant paid in full. And those who were standing, I'm sure, were asking questions. What has been paid in full? What is he talking about? Has he paid in full his wrong for his wrongdoing? Has he paid in full for claiming that he was the Son of God? In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, Paul talks about the handwriting of debts against us. This was also used in that society, referring to a common practice where criminals serving a time jail would have their crimes listed on a note and was posted at the prison where they were kept. And after they have served that punishment, paid in full. And some might have been saying, yes, this man is a criminal, just like those who were in prison. And those are the first people that we described. They might have been saying, yes, he's paying for his sins. He's a slave. Some might have been saying, what has he paid in full for? What exactly does he mean? Others understood what he meant, that he has paid in full and accomplished redemption. And so they were so thankful to God, I can imagine, that this had come to an end, although they must have been filled with grief. Beloved friends, when we talk about Christ dying on the cross, do not distance yourself from this activity. When we talk about him saying it is finished, do not think it was just for the Gentiles and the Jews of that day. When you hear the words, it is finished, they must be applied to your life. It is finished means that he has actually done something for you and me, which brings us to the third point. What does it mean to you and me this morning? This means that salvation is possible. But may I just list a number of things? It means that you don't have to obey the law in order to be saved. You don't have to be a good, nice guy who obeys your parents, a person who avoids stealing, a person who avoids immorality, a person who avoids bad words, and therefore you can become a Christian. Yeah, but what we are saying is that those things are good, and what the Lord has done is that he has actually fulfilled the law. He has actually obeyed the law, and yours is to put your trust in him. It is to give your life to Christ. Friends, sometimes I do wonder, even when the word of God is preached, when we share God's word to those who are not saved, you are not asking them to go to the cross again. You are not asking them to go to Chimbokaila or Mkobeko. You are not asking them to go into cells again to bear this penalty. You are simply telling them to put their faith and trust in Christ. You are simply saying someone has paid the debt already. You are simply saying that you do not have to be obeying these burdensome things, but commit your life to God. In other words, what we are saying that for you and me, what it means is that we have to repent of our sins. We should have been hanging on the cross, but the Lord did it for us. Therefore, we must just give our lives to him. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6. What does it mean to you and me, beloved friend? There is no other additional work required for salvation. It has been paid in full. There is no other Messiah coming. There is no other person coming to add on to what Christ has done. There is no other one to bring salvation or to come and complete what has been done. Beloved friend, you don't have to be waiting for anything and anyone. Salvation is possible. Salvation is free for you today. It is just like that. You can become a Christian and it will be complete. You can become a Christian and you'll have eternity in heaven. No other additional work required for salvation. No debt to pay. No condemnation upon those who are coming to Christ, those who have come. This is what it means. According to Romans 8 and verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God is not hanging upon their head like some of you gathered with us this morning. Oh yes, it's not a threat, but it's the truth. The wrath of God is hanging upon your head. Young person, young girl, young boy, you are in danger, as it were. So much of people trying to pat you on your back, trying to be apologetic in the way they say things, trying to be politically correct, as it were, while they escort you to heaven. The truth of the matter is this, that if you give your life to God today, there will be no condemnation on you. Beloved friends, we need to realize, for those who are not saved, those who are far away from God, those who are living in rebellion, you need to realize that you are spending years in vanity. You are spending years without even realizing that you are heading to hell. You are spending years, you are spending your time accumulating upon yourself more and more guilt, accumulating upon yourself more and more sin. The older you grow, the more you sin. The longer you live, the more you sin. The more you sin, the more questions you have to answer before God. Friends, years spent in rebellion. I'm very much aware that when young people are growing, there's that teenage stage where things now are so difficult for the parents, where rebellion reaches its peak, where you can see a true manifestation of sin, sin at its worst and best. Christ is calling you. Will you sing, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, not knowing that my God was crucified"? Will you be able to realize that Christ came for you? In other words, it is as clear as this. He came to seek the lost of this world, the lost of the young people, the lost of the older people, the lost of each and every human race. If you do not repent, you are heading to hell. For those who do not come to Christ, the words, "It is finished," will not apply. They die in sin. Your sins are not taken away. And I want to appeal to you this morning. Do you see yourself on the cross? Do you realize that it is because of your sin that the sinless Christ died on the cross? Do you realize that he knew no sin? He was innocent. How we protest when we are told that we did something and we are innocent. How we react. They are unjust. He was innocent. This Christ said, "It is finished." What are you waiting for? Why don't you come to Christ? There is no satisfaction in the things of this world. There is no satisfaction in the pleasures of sin. True satisfaction, true life and living is in Christ. Eternity is found in Him and Him alone. May this morning be a day when you can turn to Christ. A day when you be translated from your kind of life to that of those who are marching to Zion. May it be a day when you say, "Yes, I rejoice in this day that I've given my life to Him, that even though death may come, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." It is the day that you can prepare and that you are going to prepare, that even if death comes, that you'll still be happy, rejoicing that you know you are going to face your Maker as a child of God? Is this the day, beloved friends? How do you want your parents to weep, young people? How do you want your family members to pray for you if you do not become a Christian? The things that you are hearing today will be given as evidence in that day. You rejected the Lord. You never listened. You will have no one to blame but yourself. Those who are saved, your debt has been paid in full. Saved forever. You do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. Paid in full. Suffered in our place. What a glorious Savior we have. Amen.